So you are going to believe this, but this is, I love the confirmation. Literally, my whole talk has just been talked out this morning. So we're talking about the promises of God and what God has put in our hearts. And we have a house, and in this house, there's stuff going on. And God's talking to you because he is a personal God. And we need to understand that God does this in multiple ways. He talks about the world, then he talks about places, then he talks about towns, and he talks about our houses, and he talks about us. And so my talk this morning is to wrap this all up. So, well, what does that mean for you right now? How do we put that on the floor? How do we anchor what's been said in so many different ways with speaking the words of prophecy, speaking truth, speaking life? God's interested in our lives, interested in all that we do. He's not a God that mucks about. He's not a God that is unintentional. He is an intentional God. So when he called you to be in him before the foundations of the earth, that's intentional. Which means he had you in mind. He knew your story. He knew your history. He knows your journey. He knows the ups and the downs. He knows the bends. He knows the hidden corners. He knows the traps. He knows all that stuff. But I said, I'm never going to go away. I'm always going to be available for you. So what does it mean for us as a church family, us as individuals, to start to learn to walk in that whole journey of it? I've titled this talk, Okay to be Uncomfortable. Because life is uncomfortable. Life is not easy. And so if your life is hitting the fan, if the bottom's fallen out, this talk is for us. I want to go into a scripture. I want to go into Matthew 5. Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to picture. Jesus is talking truth. I want you to be in the middle of what Jesus is saying. Imagine Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and you are one of those disciples. You are with them, peeking over their shoulder as Jesus starts to say these words. And I want you to picture what he says. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So as you were picturing that, where were you? Were you on the mountainside looking at the town? Were you in the house lighting the lamp? Where were you? Was the house dark or was it dusk? Could you see the town ahead? And what does that mean to us? Let our light shine. Now, as I was breaking this down, there's a couple of things I got really encouraged by. Is that it's called Haven't Town. We're a town, not a city, we're a town. And the name over that door is the Beacon. Now, interesting, in a town, a city set on the hill cannot be hidden if the houses in the town have light in it. How much light is in your house? More importantly, how much light is in your heart? And what are good deeds? What does that look like for you? What are good deeds in your life? How do you bring that into perspective? One thing I love about darkness, or don't, I was like that. I wanted on the water. I'm on the water. Oh, bless you, health and safety. Imagine me on the water then. Got some things I want to remember. I worked in a dark room. I used to be a photographer. I used to be a photographer. How cool is that? That's a journey after 30-odd years. One of my jobs was working in a colour dark room, not a black and white one, not the one with the red light, the one which, if you go in a colour dark room, you have this really dingy green light. It takes you 10 minutes to see your hand in front of your face. It's really weird. So after 10 minutes, your eyes, your pupils become so dilated, you're like, I can see my hand now. But the problem is working in the colour dark room is as soon as you open that door, poof, my eyes used to stream. So in the summer, I was like, whoa, I used to wear glasses to come out because your eyes would stream because you realise how bright white light is if you've been living in dinge all that time. And what I love about that is that it can never be dark enough. It's impossible for it to be dark enough for your light not to shine. If you've got a candle, I guarantee you, if your room is pitch black and you have a candle and you strike a match, you will automatically look at that light. In fact, the darker it is, the brighter the light. Whether it be a candle or a mega beam. I imagine Jonathan has these mega beams. Yeah? Do you have one? Do you have one? Yeah, I thought we might. Yeah, yeah. You know, but it doesn't matter how dark it is, that candle would light that room up. Or not even light the room up, it would light the incident where it is. But that candle is not, it can't, the darkness can't swallow it up. It's impossible for your light not to shine. The question is, do you shield it? That's the question here. Do not shield your light. Let your light shine. I was driving on the M27 once. Do you know when you go up the hill to Fareham and you've got the mountain, you've got that chalk bit, then you've got houses somewhere there? I was driving one day, years and years ago, and this bright light was shining in my face. I thought, what is that? And I realised someone's mirror had caught the sun at the same place where the car was. And I was like, dude, I couldn't see. And that's the reflection of God's light that we carry. And it's really important that we have in us the essence of God living in us. It says that in Peter. I'll come to that in a minute. But that's the light that we carry, reflected from the Father. The moon is covered in dust and it reflects the sun. And that shows you what dust can do. So remember, the light that you have. I'm going to go through. Yeah. I've got quite a lot to get through, so I want to try and. But so this is really important. So what are good deeds? Well, they're not bad deeds. Okay, good. They're not bad deeds. But I wanted to go to Galatians 5 because I thought Galatians 5 is really... When I was a Christian, people would come up to me and they'd say to me things like, "Woo, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be doing that." Like they know. Yeah? And but that's not what I'm talking about because that's transformation of the heart. We're talking about being transformed. And we're being transformed in ever-increasing glory that comes from the Lord, who's the Spirit. But I'm talking about what is good deeds. So I'm going to base good deeds, one of the parts of good deeds, in the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 22 to 26 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wait. Against these things there is no law. For all those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we now live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Now, the last three, I would say, were bad deeds. Being provoking, envying, and conceited. But how do we express that? How do we do that? What's our light? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, A, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, let us come and pray with you. because you can live a life without the Spirit. But when you have the Spirit, you have a transformational life. You start to change. When you had addictions, I remember when God said to me on my 23rd birthday, I used to smoke cigarettes, and I liked it. That's why I did it. And identity thing, or trying to be cool and all that sort of stuff. And on my 23rd birthday, the Holy Spirit said to me, what would you like for your birthday? I went, hey, I'd really like to stop smoking. Holy Spirit said, beautiful. So on my 23rd birthday, I never smoked a cigarette from there. I did go and smoke cigars, because I'm an idiot. And then I learned self-control. Yeah? And Karen's got a story about that. Right, so it's really important. Do you understand me so far?
Yeah.
So what does it mean to... Are you okay to be uncomfortable? Are you okay to be uncomfortable in your life? It's really... That's a really horrible thing to say, Chris. Can you not say that? Can you just say that we can have it nice? Why uncomfortable? Come on, that's not nice. Are we desperate to find the comfortable place in everything that we do that is nice? Do we shy away from challenge? Or do we want to find comfortableness in physical, in spiritual, in emotional, and financial? Do we want to find it comfortable? We just want to make it okay. I am a Christian and I do tithe. I can do that. Generosity, come on, dude, stop it. You know? Physically, about, and I'm speaking to myself here, I am listening to this. Physically, about taking self-control over my physicality, how much I eat, how much I drink, what I do with my time, how do I exercise. Physical, what do I spend with my time, what do I do with my time. You know, spiritually, how often do you pray? How often do you ponder on God? Pondering is a beautiful thing. Just unplug and ponder. You know? I love it. Do you not find it interesting that you're doing the washing up and God just tells you how much he loves you and you're just washing the plates? What's that about? Because you're pondering. You're just like letting your mind just wander. And if you're anchored in good fruit, guess what? It ponders on good stuff. Let it ponder. Emotional. Wow, you know, I get overcome with emotion a lot. I mean, I feel like I fail a lot. I know I don't, but I feel like I fail a lot. I drop the ball on multiple occasions. It's not because I don't want to, it's because I'm just full. And I know I've got people trying to protect my back, and I'm trying to say no. It's really hard. So if I say no, I'm not being horrible, I'm just trying to stop my brain from blowing up. I want to say this. I love this bit. It's Katie here. Katie Cinderelli. Okay, it's a message for her. Right. She stood up on Sunday, one Sunday, and she was telling about her journey and fear and all that stuff. And then she said this quote, I'm only human. And the Holy Spirit really struck me. No, you're not. You are not only human. If we believe we're only human, we are limited with humanity, where we're at. And I want to tell you who we are. That's a whole talk in its own self. Jonathan, you can do that one. Who are we, right? I've got some bits, who we are, right? Who are we? Well, first I want to say we are chosen and we're redeemed. We are chosen and we're redeemed. We are children of God. And we are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. What does that mean? It means the old is gone and the new is going to be revealed to you. Because it's not here yet, and it's coming. So every day in Christ expects a revelation of God. Every day. And they're always fun. They are fun. They can be challenging, they can be uncomfortable, but they're good. Yeah? We are God's masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. When he made you, it's like, oh, if only you just knew how amazing you are. And don't let society steal who you think you are and how you fit in this box or how you survive around going around. And he's given us good works in Christ Jesus to do. This is the one I like. We are partakers of the divine nature. Okay, that's huge. That is absolutely off the chart. We are partakers of the divine nature, which means we have God living in us. I mean, that's huge. Before you did not know Christ and you were alien to God and you were shunned by him, but when you gave your life to Christ, he came and lived in you, lives in us. Which means you are not just human. You can't say, I'm only human. The answer is, you're not. Can't even say that now. Makes me feel uncomfortable. But you can't. Because if you know Christ lives inside you, you are chosen to do good works in him. Draw men. So, how did Jesus do it? He's the author and perfecter of our faith. So we want to look to Jesus to find, how do we shine? How do we be okay being uncomfortable? Jesus was familiar with sorrow. And I love this. This is what Jesus said about himself in John 5. He said this. Because Jesus was doing all these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began persecuting him. In this, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried even more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he was calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. Jesus gave this answer, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. That's huge. Jesus, being fully human and fully divine, lived on this planet as a human being. And he was listening to what God was saying and doing, and only doing what he saw his Father doing. He wasn't doing it in his own power. He was doing it as a perfect man, having a perfect relationship with God, calling God his Father, doing everything that he wants, what he called him to do. That may seem quite steep. And the disciples followed him for 3.5 years, or 3 years. And they were following him, and all they were doing was watching Jesus. And they were questioning it, and they were getting riled by it, and they were being jealous of each other. They were being conceited, and they were envying each other, and they were doing all the things because they wanted to be like Jesus, and they wanted a quick glory moment. But they were following Jesus and watching him and hearing him and seeing how he walked and pondering it and even being offended by him. But they were saying, well, where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life. And so they were just being close to Jesus. My passion is that we be close to Jesus. He will offend you. Not because he doesn't like you. It's because he wants to give you truth. And truth is not always nice. I operate a lot in grace. So people like me, they think I'm the nice one. Because I operate in grace. I can't help it. It's the way I'm built. I just want to love people and I want them to feel great. I want them to feel loved and secured. And other people work in truth. And I love these people. Because they get the rough end of the stick. Because they're wishing to be the hard one. They're the one that, no, that's wrong. That's not what it says. You have to be like this. You're covering up this for that. No one likes that. No one likes the truth. When Jesus speaks truth, sometimes it can pierce, but his motivation is always love. So I just wanted to see how Jesus handled it. And this is the bit where we're talking about, how do we do these good deeds? How do we connect with, how do we get light in our house? How does our house that's full of light set in a town on a hill that can't be hidden? How do we change our borough? How do we change Haven? How do we change our street? How do we change our families with light? It's faith through works. That's right, good old James. Let's just finish this one here. So it says here, so Jesus, being Jesus, decides to send out the 72. He's got 12 followers, and then he's got the 72. Obviously, Jesus likes 12s. And so he sends out the 72, and he asks them to do this thing. And I've got two parts for this. Are you with me? Okay, you okay? He's very quiet. Okay, he's just very quiet. It says, he says, after this, the Lord appeared to the 72 and sent them out two by two to go ahead of him into every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, and he send out workers into the fields. Jesus said, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse. Do not take a bag or extra sandals. Do not meet anyone on the way, on the road. When you go into the house, call peace to the house. And if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. I want to break that down a little bit. How do we make that? How do we earth that for us? Well, I think earth it in a couple of ways. One, we're going ahead of Jesus. We carry what God's got inside us, and we're going to go ahead of what Jesus wants us to do. He's called us to do good works in Christ Jesus through the Spirit. And it's going to be challenging. Why? Because you said you're going to be lambs among wolves. That doesn't look good. It doesn't seem to end well, does it? Lamb among wolves. That means watch your back. Be wise. Don't be naive. Be wise. Why? Because you're innocent as lambs. You're not wolves. It says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life. We come with love. We come with love and grace and truth. And I love this bit. Don't take a purse or a bag or a sandal. What does that mean? It means ask for help. Ask for help. When you're walking to someone and you're with someone who doesn't know Jesus, the biggest thing that you can do is say, could you help me? I'm a bit skint. Or could you help me? I need a hand. Or, you know, offering the vulnerability of, I need something. I've got, you know, it says don't take a purse. You know? He said, don't take a bag. Don't take sandals. What he's saying is, like, you know, you're in need. If you ask someone for a hand, it's probably one of the biggest compliments you can get. I'm not saying fleece everybody. What I am saying is actually ask for help. We are so proud as people. We don't ask for help. How many times have you seen it when someone's trying to start their car? It's pouring down with rain. Do you want a hand? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. Do you mean? We're like that. We don't ask for help. You know what, if someone says, can I help you? You know, be wise, say yes. Why? Because you do not know what's around the corner. And they've invested in you, right? Just a thought. Go with the Spirit. And this is the bit that I really want us to now really focus on, is when I go in the schools, you know, I go into school, go into a senior school. One thing I've noticed, there's certain students that have peace. And certain students that don't. And it's not because they are come from not a broken background. Some people from a broken background have peace. And you can tell they have peace because when you speak to them, they have peace back. God says, be discerning. If you find someone with peace, invest. If someone is argumentative and someone who is challenging, that's always in front of your grill, be mindful of that. But find the people of peace, because the people of peace are the ones I believe God wants us to follow, because they're receptive to God. Yeah, why? Because they see it in you, and they respond back. So speak peace, and if your peace comes back, you've got a highway to work with. Yeah? Is it interesting how the Pharisees found Jesus, not Jesus found the Pharisees? So the Pharisees wanted to accuse Jesus, question Jesus, trick Jesus, try and trip him up on his words, but all those who were broken ran to him. Interesting, isn't it? And then Jesus then spoke truth in love. Not all the results were beneficial. As a rich young ruler, he ran to Jesus, but he didn't know the cost. So that's that bit. Does that make sense to you? So look for people for peace. People of peace. People that, you know, when they ask you for help or you need a hand, let them say yes. Let someone help you. And if you speak peace and someone's actually engaging with you rather than saying, well, tell me why you're a Christian. I want to know. I want to know the answers. Well, do you know what? It doesn't matter what answer I give you. I've got a funny feeling it's not going to be right. Go find Jesus. Go wait. Find the right time. I'm not saying Jesus is not interested in them. I'm saying get the timing right. Does that make sense? Sow on good soil. Sow where you know there's reaction. Okay, part two of the 72. They all come back. Woohoo! So they all come back, two by two, and they came, went together like that, two by two, and they said this to Jesus. Dude, they didn't say dude, but they could have done. Lord, even the demons submit in your name. They are totally stoked. Because Jesus told them to go and heal the sick and cast out demons. And they're going, no, no, seriously, it worked. You told us to do it and we did it and you are not going to believe this. And Jesus is like, oh, funny enough, I am going to believe this. And Jesus said to them, I like this bit, Jesus said in the reply, however, do not just rejoice just because the spirits submit, but rejoice that your name is written in a book of life. You know, please hear what I'm saying. I want to be a disciple first. And then because I'm a disciple, people call me a Christian. I do not want to be called a Christian first and then be a follower of Jesus. I want to follow Jesus because I follow Jesus. They go, yeah, you're a bit like Jesus. You're a bit like Christ. Then he said, I like this bit. Then he said, I love this. This is beautiful. He said, not only are your words in the book of life, he said, but you guess what I saw? Yes. You saw the demons flee in my name. I saw Satan fall like lightning. Jesus is like, come on, you did this, but I saw that. And then Jesus does this beautiful thing. He gets filled by the spirit of joy. So he's laughing his head off, going, you are not going to, well, listen to me, I saw this. And I imagine Jesus was laughing, filled with the spirit. He was jolly. He was like, come on. When England scored that try, come on. Do you know what I mean? It's that moment, and he's filled with joy. He's like, that's exactly why I came on this planet, for God's kingdom to come, and you did it. And I love this last bit. Actually, I love all of it, you notice. I love this last bit. Jesus says this, I praise you, Father and Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things to the wise and learned, and you revealed it to little children. Come on. That means you are qualified. You are qualified. You can't say you don't know enough. You can't say I'm not clever enough. You can't say because I haven't got a degree. You can't say anything. You can't disqualify yourself because I barely know Jesus. Dude, if you barely know Jesus, who's the creator of the universe, that means you can speak in the same pattern. Yeah? Really quickly, I'm going to just encourage you on a couple of stories. Do you know our Shania, who's currently in hospital? And we'd be great to pray for her. She sent this on the encouragements, I think, where she was in a ward D4 at the time, and there's an old person who was a Christian, and she told her that she was a Christian too. That's a big deal for Shania. She doesn't know what the response you're going to get. So, and then I think, if my memory's right, that I think the lady called her over, and she said, "Will you pray for me?" No, Shania, she says this weird thing. She says, Chris, unless you've told me, I don't know. So I say, Shania, do you know this? She goes, Chris, if you haven't told me, I won't know. So I'm like, okay. So I have to remember that she's not churched, so she won't know. So she's going and praying with this person the best way she knows how. She has got, the only time she's, our life group that we're doing next week, we learn to pray. And we're just learning to pray out. Everyone prays out. It's one of those things that makes you feel uncomfortable, but it's good. And she said, Chris, I prayed for her. Of course I prayed, she said, didn't she? Of course I've prayed. And she prayed this beautiful prayer about having taken away fear when she wants to sleep. I think that's what she prayed. Do you know the first prayer that God answered on Shania's life was that she'd have peace when she sleeps? It was given to her, so she gave it away. So whatever you've got, whatever testimony you have, give it away. If God takes you away from nightmares, pray to freedom in sleep. If God's done reconciliation in your relationships, pray that. If God's healed your back, guess what? Pray that. If God's encountered you in finances, pray that. If God is taken away bunions or Baker's cysts, pray that. Does it make sense? If you've been given something, give it away. That's the kingdom principle. And guess what? You get more. I was challenged by Sheila the other day when she had a family service. Without sounding arrogant and proud, I find it hard to get out of my comfort zone. Okay, I love the fact Jesus let me read today. How cool is that? I'm not a very good public reader. I'm a public, so I can publicly speak fairly okay. But to read or to write, so it's very hard to get me out of my comfort zone. And so I got a bit irritated by that. I thought, look, can I just do the thing that challenges me? I want to grow, you know? And so anyway, myself and Karen were in Tesco, getting the shopping for a lunch club. And I see this lady, this young lady, she must be in her early 20s, and I saw her, and she had peace, and she had kindness, and she had this goodness about her that just radiated. Do you ever meet those people that just seem to be just kind, and you can see the kindness follow them? What is that about? And the Holy Spirit said, I'd like you to encourage her. Well, okay, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I go up to someone? Oh, by the way, I'm a Christian, and God just wants to say that I see kindness and joy and compassion on you. You know? That's quite, in Tesco, I dare you do it. Have a go. So I said to her, what did I do? I did this. I didn't do that. I did this. I leant on Jesus. Really important. When life gets a bit challenging, lean on Jesus. Don't try and fix it. Don't try and make it work. When you find people of peace, ask Jesus what the next step is. Don't try and work it out in your head. Lean on Jesus. Oh, okay, Lord, I've done the step one. I've made myself available. Step two, I've prayed for someone of peace. Step three, I don't know what step three is. Lean on Jesus. Okay, if you want me to have a conversation with this person, how do I do it? So literally, we're going to the checkout. And I said to Karen, see that lady over there? She's like, yeah. She can pick up on my tone. She's like, yeah, what's going on with that? She said, I really feel I've got a word for her. She went, okay, how's this? And she, I think Karen, I don't know how you feel on days, but you must think this is going to be fun. Whatever's going to happen is going to be interesting. Anyway, nothing happened. Nothing happened. So I'm leaning on Jesus. Well, I've told Karen now, so I'm now committed. I've now said what I'm going to do. So I don't know how it's going to work out. So then we follow them down the escalator, the travelator. And funny enough, they're right in front of us. Go figure that. Right? And then they walk in the direction of our car. Do you want to go? Do you know when the Holy Spirit goes, now would be a good time. Now would be a good time. You are following them. Now it's a little bit stalkish. You're stalking them and you're not. There's a point where you have to cash your chips in. There's a point where you have to go, okay, I need to give them some money. Okay, I need to say yes next time someone says to me, can I have a hand? Sometimes you have to cash your chips in. So I said, God, okay, I don't really know how this is going to work. Whatever's going to do, it's going to be uncomfortable. But guess what? It's life. So what do I do? I proper lean on Jesus. So what happens is, so Karen, she was in the car and she took forever. They take forever to get in our car. So I've packed our stuff. She's in the car. Then she's in the car. So I've got to take the trolley back. I said, Karen, I'm taking the trolley back. Karen's thinking, oh, great, okay, about time. So I take the trolley back. As I take the trolley back, she's reversing out of her park, or driving out of her parking place. So she has to stop for me. Moment. Eye contact. What do? You go, oh, I can't wait. I leave the trolley in front of her car so she can't drive off anywhere. I go round and I tap on the window. She's like, rolls it down, and I say, look, hi, I don't know what I said, but it's like, hi, honey, I just wanted to let you know, I've watched you and saw you in the shop, and I want to, I know it sounds bad, whatever you're going to do, it's never going to sound easy, it's going to sound awkward, but watch what happens when you break out, and you step out and become uncomfortable. One is that I've noticed you around the shop, and I want to say, I just saw kindness and gentleness and compassion flow out of you. And I wanted you to know that's what I saw. She starts to cry. She said, you've made my week. And a friend is like going, do you know him? And then you have this awkward moment. And I just wanted to say, I want to just let you know. And I walked off. Now we're driving alongside each other. And we get to the Joe in Heaven, where you go left if you want to go into Heaven and right if you're going to Hailing Island. We're literally, there's no other car, no other car. And you're like, this awkward moment where you go, ah, and the traffic lights are there. Like, ah. And so you're sitting there going, Karen, are you looking? Not looking. And then she rolls down the window and she turns around, she shouts out, because we're running, because it's also, she shouts out, says, thank you so much. I needed that. It's just about learning to be uncomfortable, learning to do it. And can I want to just put this as a little side note. If you said things like, I'm not going to do this, on our Tuesdays, our day off, right? But it's not breakable. It's not unbreakable. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying I am going to actively lean into the fact I'm not going to do work. But hey, if God says do something, I'm going to do it. If we make these little vacuum-packed bubbles, we've got to be really mindful, because there's a new season on its way. What Mark said, there's a new season on its way for this church, and it's got you involved in it. We're the beacon for a reason. We are in a town, and we're upstairs on floor one, and we are going to make our light shine in our houses. Find the people of peace, do what it means. I just want to do one story and then I'm going to close. Is that okay? You sure? I don't want to see if Jesus knew when to stop. I don't really know. This is important for us. This is the bit where you need to just pause. Jesus has died. He has risen. He's ascended, I think. Yes, he's ascended, which means he's gone to heaven, gone to the Father. Peter and John are walking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to pray. They bring in a man who is lame to beg at the gate called Beautiful. John and Peter are walking. This guy sees them, clocks them, and he looks at them and he starts to beg for some gold and silver. Jesus defaults into, what would Jesus do? Uncomfortable moment. What happens next is really important for Peter and John. He goes up and says, I don't have any gold or silver, but in the name of Jesus Christ, I tell you to get up and walk. He doesn't stop there. He takes him by the hand and helps him up. Get up. Helps him up. And it says his ankles became straight and strong. And then he leapt. And then started dancing into the temple. That was a moment in history. That was a significant moment for the church, because they activated an uncomfortable moment. What do I do now? There will be days, I believe there'll be days when people go into, there was days, I remember some Thomas story where a teenager went in to buy donuts in London, in America somewhere, went in to buy some donuts, and then he asked the guy who was deaf, can I pray for you? And then he prayed, and he was healed. And then he got hold of the thingy and said, God's is in checkout 9. If you want to be healed, come to checkout 9 to be healed. That's an uncomfortable moment. I think Bill Johnson told that story. Does that make sense, yeah? So, who are you in that story? Are you the cripple, or are you praying? Because you can be either. And we want to take opportunity today that if you want to be uncomfortable for Jesus, we want to pray for you.
I do.
Cool. We want to anoint you.
Yeah,
you handy. And so the last clip is people take it to the extreme. But being uncomfortable. Get up and walk. Get up. If you want to do this for Jesus, if you want to be uncomfortable, if you want to make a difference where we are, if you want to know what it means to be a disciple first and then a Christian too. Why? Because God's called us to make a difference. God's taught us to light a light. Is that okay? So we're going to pray. We're going to sing.